Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Well, this is the day. This is the day that you and I have been talking about over the past few weeks. This is the day that the Monte Vista Church of Christ, located at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, has been preparing for well over a year. This is the day that we begin a very special series of Bible lessons presented to us by Brother D. Bowman from Pasadena, Texas. Let me ask you, what are you doing today at about 2 o'clock this afternoon? I hope that you will join us at that time for a study of God's Word, that you'll open up your heart, that you'll come and meet some people that want to live in eternity at the same place that you would like to live, and that is heaven. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you can be also." John chapter 14. We want to talk to you about heaven. We want to share with you things that have been brought to us by our Savior, Jesus Christ, one who gave up his home in heaven to come to this land to live, to suffer, to die, so that you and I might have an opportunity to get rid of those sins that separate us from God. This week, we're just going to have a spiritual feast. This afternoon at 2 o'clock begins that feast. Then, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock in the evening, we will assemble and spend an hour in worshiping God, in singing praises to the name of God, to praying to God who promises to hear the prayers of righteous men, to listening to Brother Bowman preach from the Word of God. Brother Bowman has been a gospel preacher for a lot of years, probably more than he would like to admit or I can even remember. But he is a most talented speaker. I know that you will enjoy sitting at his feet and sharing and studying the Word of God. Come and be with us. Well, if you're a regular listener to this radio show, you know that over the last 2 weeks we've been talking about the subject of judging, proper judging and improper judging, the kind of judging that God condemns and the kind of judging that God commands. Our text for these lessons has been the same. Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Jesus said, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Indeed, a passage of Scripture that makes it very clear that there are types of judgment that Jesus forbids you and I from participating in. If you add to that James, the 4th chapter, verse 11 and 12, you see that the Bible is very clear with regard to that kind of improper and forbidden judgment. But just as true as there is a kind of judgment forbidden in the Bible, is that there is a kind of judgment that is encouraged. In John, the 7th chapter, verse 24, and in Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 57, Jesus teaches about that kind of commended judging. That kind of judging is put into play the direction of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 12 and 13. In the lessons that we have studied together in the last 2 weeks, we've considered those kinds of judging that God condemns, that God forbids. We've seen what causes those kinds of judgings. We've seen a step-by-step method of how to overcome those kinds of judging in our lives. This morning, we want to deal with the kind of judging that God commands, that God demands. I know that there are those in the world who say that God doesn't want us to judge in any situation. That's not what the Bible says. I want you, if you would, to look in your Bible at Romans, the 13th chapter, and let's consider the first kind of judging here that God commands, and that is judging by the civil courts. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, wrote, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror of good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what's good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's avenger, he is God's minister, the one to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." According to those verses, civil powers are from God. Civil powers are ordained by God. I want you to note, if you would, that in that passage from Romans 13, it does not specify that it's the government of the United States of America that is ordained by God and all others are not. It talks about government, government in general, civil powers in general are of God. They are a terror to evil works. They bear not the sword in vain. They are a revenger. I read in 1 Peter 2 and verse 17 that the king is to be honored. I would suggest to you that it doesn't say whether or not he was of our political party, does it? That the king is to be honored. And we are to render to government, render to Caesar those things of Caesar, Luke 20, verse 25. Paul was submissive to the law of Rome, even though it was an oppressive law, even though certainly it was not a law that was based upon a belief in and a following of God. Paul was submissive to that law. I want you, if you would, to look in the book of Acts, chapter 25, at verses 11 and 12. Paul wrote, "For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there's nothing in these of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he conferred with the council, answered, "You have appealed to Caesar? To Caesar you shall go." Paul respected civil authority. Paul knew what his rights were under civil authority. And Paul appealed to civil authority to make a proper judgment in his case. God commends civil government and their judgments, as long as their judgments are consistent with God's word. A second kind of judging that God commands and demands is the identification and the condemnation of wrongdoers, of evil people, and of false teachers. In our text in Matthew the 7th chapter, but down in verse 6, the Bible is clear with regard to making a judgment concerning the spirituality of some people. Jesus says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Let me ask you, how would you know who the dogs and the swine were unless you made some kind of a judgment? Certainly there is judgment made there. The scriptures, there are scriptures that couldn't be followed unless you and I agree that some kind of judgments must be made. Let's look at some of those scriptures. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning in verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. How is it that you and I could follow that passage, that passage could be directive to you and I in our lives if we didn't make some kind of judgment? How would we even know who the false prophets were if we didn't look at the fruits that their labors brought forth? Well, I think that's a good question. In Titus, the 3rd chapter, verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. How would you follow that if you did not first make a judgment and identify the divisive man? Certainly, it goes without saying that a judgment is demanded by God in order to follow that directive. In 2 John, the 9th verse, the Bible says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house or greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Well, consider the question for a moment. How would we know who to include in our fellowship and who to exclude from our fellowship and our homes if we didn't make some kind of a judgment? And that judgment, according to 2 John 9 through 11, is by looking at the doctrine that is taught and looking at the teaching of certain people. If anyone does not bring that doctrine, don't receive him into your house or greet him. And then it talks about the consequences that one suffers when disobeying that directive. Well, what about Romans, the 16th chapter, verse 17 and 18? There the Bible says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. There we're told there are some people that can use smooth words and deceive us. But you and I are supposed to make a judgment concerning those. We are supposed to identify those that cause divisions and offenses. We're supposed to identify those who walk differently than the pathway that the Lord brought for us to follow in. And we are supposed to discipline those kinds of people. How would we do that without making a judgment? When false teaching and teachers are identified, we need not to criticize the ones that are doing the identifying. We need to criticize the ones who are teaching the false doctrine. Well, a third kind of judging that God approves of is the kind that recognizes and disapproves of the faults of others. Now, I have friends that would call that picking. I have friends that say when you get to that part of the sermon, then you're meddling rather than preaching. But God approves of recognition and disapproval of the faults of others. Look, if you would, with me in Galatians the 6th chapter and verse 1. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted." Look also, if you would, at James 5 and verse 19. James 5 and verse 19, the Bible says, "If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." So there you have in Galatians 6 and verse 1, a passage that shows that restoration is preceded and predicated on recognition. Then in James 5, verse 19 and 20, the text implies that there is a body of truth. It implies that we can know what the truth is. It teaches us that we can recognize a departure from the truth. And James 5, 19 and 20 teaches us that we can identify the one that is departing from the truth, and that we have a responsibility as Christians to the one that departs from the truth. Let me ask you some questions as we consider together the kind of judging that God demands. Was Nathan wrong in pointing out David's sin? In 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 14, Nathan came before David, that mighty king. He gave him an illustration to which David reacted. And at the end, during the part of the application of that lesson, Nathan looked at David and he says, "Thou art the man." That was a judgment, wasn't it? He pointed out to David that he was the one who sinned. He was the one that needed correction. Another question, was John the Baptizer wrong when he pointed out the sin of Herod? In the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, John pointed out the fact that Herod had no right to be living in the marriage that he was in. John have the right to make that judgment? Oh, I know that the response from Herod was to murder John the Baptist. I know that. I know that the recognition of that sinful lifestyle that Herod was living was not a thing that Herod nor his family wanted to hear. What about that in your mind? Did John have the right to recognize and to make a judgment concerning Herod's lifestyle? Well, what about Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 22 and 23? Peter have a right to identify sin and sinners? What about Paul and Peter in Galatians 2, verse 11 through 14? What about Apollos and Aquila when they went and heard a sermon? Aquila and Priscilla went and heard Apollos preaching, and they were critical and took him off to the side and told him what the truth was. Should they have recognized that? Should they have made that judgment? Or should they have just left well enough alone? Should they have just slipped out the side door and not brought to Apollos' attention what his error was? Would that have made God happy? Well, a third kind of judging that God approves of is that kind of preaching that draws the line, the kind of straightforward preaching that draws the line between right and wrong. God wants that line drawn between the saved and the lost. Psalms chapter 1, 1 Peter 4, verse 17. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 33, and Matthew 13, verse 24 through 30 shows that God wants us as gospel preachers to make a clear delineation, to draw a clear line between those that are saved and those that are lost. And until we do that, those that are lost will never see the propriety of changing their life, of repenting of their sins. They will never come to the point where their sins are forgiven. God wants a line drawn between the true church and denominations. We see that in Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus identifies the church as my church. In Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, when compared with Ephesians 4 and verse 4, shows that there is one church. We see in Colossians 1, verse 18 and 24, information about the body. We see in Colossians 3 and verse 15 that there is one body. God wants us to be clear with regard to the one church and its difference between denominations and itself. That is not picky. That is not improper judgment. When couched in an attitude of love, it is the kind of preaching that God wants done. God wants a line drawn between truth and error, between the gospel of Christ and the teachings of men. The gospel of Christ saves, Romans 1 and verse 16. Truth from God frees, John 8 and verse 32. But error condemns, 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. And error enslaves, John 8 and verse 34. Paul set forth the true God before the Athenians, Acts 17, verse 22 through 31. Jesus told the Sadducees, you do error, Matthew 22 and verse 21 and 29. God wants a line drawn between the church and the world. The church are the called out from the world. Those called out by the gospel, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Accordingly, you and I as Christians are to separate ourselves, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 through 18. We are not to be a friend to the world, James 4 and verse 4. We are not to love the world, 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17. We are not to be conformed to the world, Romans 12 and verse 2. We are to be unspotted from the world, James 1 and verse 17. Are there kinds of judgment that God demands? Certainly they are. But I would tell you that many of those judgments that God demands of His people are judgments that are condemned by the world. Live and let live. Unity without regard to agreement upon God's Word is called for in so many places. It's not called for in the Scriptures. God certainly wants us to be unified. God certainly wants us to be patient with one another, certainly wants us to go the extra mile, certainly wants us not to be vindictive, does not want us to enter into the kind of judgments that we studied about last week in our lesson. But there is a kind of judgment that God wants us to do. And we must not refrain from that kind of judgment, even though we are viewed as being a less than Christian by the world when we participate in those judgments. I call your attention to those things as important issues in life. Open the book. Open the Bible and see what it has to say. Re-listen to this program and make note of the passages that we have used. If you think that we've used any passage incorrectly, if you think that we've taken God's Word and turned it around to say those things that God did not intend it to say, if you have any of those problems with the passages that we've used or the points that we've made in this program, you would be our friend to call them to our attention. It is our hope, it is our prayer, it is our life to take into our being the Word of God, to remove the old man and to put on the new, and thus by doing, to ensure that we have a home in heaven after a while. I pray that that is your purpose in life, that that is your goal in life. And again, I pray that we'll get to meet some new people, some of you that are listening that we have not met before, at our services today at 2 o'clock or each night this week at 7 o'clock at the Monta Vista Church of Christ, 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix. If you need a way here to the building to worship with us, give me a call at area code 602-818-6808, and we'll do our best to accommodate your desires. I pray that this week we'll have an unusual opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monta Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.